I'm going to, we're going back to where we were last week. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter share before I conk out. We were talking about the different parts of the Torah. Okay? And I'm just going to read the Gemara again. It's Gemara from Hey Amud Aleph, page 41 that you have. And then we're going to read a comment of Rashi. And then go into a fascinating dispute between the Rimigash and the Maharal, which is actually it's a larger dispute that appears throughout all of intellectual Jewish history about a phenomenon that's very familiar with in Psak Halacha. So this Gemara is about different parts of the Torah. Like what are the different parts of the oral tradition of Torah Shabbat Peh? I'm not learning it for myself, I can share. Page 41. Rama Rabbi Levi Barham Amar Ishlakish. My dichti va'etna lecha et luchot ha'eben v'hatarab ha'mitzvot asher katabti lehorotam. What is the meaning of the verse, this verse? And I gave you the luchot ha'eben and the Torah and the mitzvot that I wrote for you lehorotam to teach them. So then he goes on the drash. He extrapolates the different words. Luchot elu eseret ha'dibrot. Ha'torah zo ha'mikra. Ha'mitzvah zo ha'mishnah. Asher katabti elu nevim uktuvim lehorotam zo gemara. Remember, we discussed a few things. We discussed a different order. We also discussed why these specific things, okay? And then we also discussed why it was connected to Luchot HaEvan. We talked about the piece of Rav Kook, about Luchot HaEvan being things that are set in stone. And the Torah Shabbat Peh was set in stone. That it's not up for change based on whimsy, slight, or fancy. Okay? So that's the punchline of the Gemara. Melamed shekulam nitnu lemoshe misinai. And I personally, just my intuition, which could be entirely wrong, is that was entirely the intention of Rabbi Barchama in the name of Reish Lakish. That was the entire intention of the whole Gzeira, of this whole Gemara, and that it's nothing new that people want to change halacha, because people want to change halacha in every generation. You know, there's always some fight about what's the true halacha, and who has the authority, and is it subject to change. And just so happens that we still are going through a very violent phase of that, and it goes in waves like everything else in the world. Sometimes you fight about it, and sometimes you don't. You know, and we're going through a very tragic phase of it now, when people are, you know, I was at Shabbat lunch with people from Europe, and they were talking about, you know, like if you go, they were in Antwerp, and they said, you know, in Basel, there's this woman rabbi, and they're like laughing about this woman rabbi, because it's just not in their experience. And I was trying to explain to them, where I come from, that's an everyday thing. You know, and the idea of a Judaism, and so this guy, a very young, wonderful guy, about 30, 35 maybe, goes, but if you just argue with them, if you explain to them that they're wrong, right, then they'll change, right? You know what I'm saying? Not really. Like, I've tried to explain to them, like, Reform Judaism is a whole, it's a religion to them, and you can't just you know, well, you know, show them why they're wrong and you're right. It's not so simple. So I think that we're going through it now, and clearly they were going through it in their times, in sectarian times as well. All these different sects, all these different subsects of what's really the true oral tradition, and what's really the halacha, and who has the right to determine the future of Judaism. And you know, the answer really is, you know, the bottom line of who has the right to determine the future of Judaism? Whoever sticks with it the most. That's who has the right to determine. Because everybody else falls by the wayside and it's no longer Judaism. And if what you have isn't in the end going to be Judaism, then whoever stuck to it the longest, they determined what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that polarize the religion to make it more and more machmer over time?
You think that's happened to our religion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Interestingly enough, though, you know, like this, if you look at Darchei HaPsak, Sfardim, who never really had a reform wing, just in my experience, they're much more open-minded to kula. Like in Ashkenaz, we're like, oh no, you got to do every chumrah, you got to do this day or that day. Whereas Sfardim will take the other position and say, well, if there's a day, let's make you.
Like, they start out more machmer to begin with.
I don't think so. Not necessarily. Depends on one thing. All right, or maybe that's just my experience. Okay, so Rashi says, very interesting. Then we're going to take a comment of Rashi and use that as a springboard. Look at Rashi on Zo Gemara. I'm still on page 41. Rashi says Zo Gemara. Aval Hamur, Rashi says Zo Gemara. Svarat ta'amei ha-mishnayot shemimenu hora'a yotza'a. Mishnah in the language of Shas is halacha. Right? The Mishnah is straight up. Like the Mishnah says, you know, b'ma malikin, b'ma ein malikin, ein malikin, but whatever. Okay? What's the Gemara? The Gemara is the extrapolation, the understanding of the reasons for the Mishnayot that upon which the understanding was based. Okay? So if someone wants to teach Hora'ah, the Hora'ah must come from Svarat Ta'amei HaMishnayot. It must come from an understanding of the logic, the underlying logic of the Mishnayot. Aval HaMorim Hora'ah Min HaMishnah, but those who teach, who offer Hora'ah, who issue Psak from the Mishnah, Nikra'im Mevalei HaOlam. They are called those who confound the world. Meaning, somebody asks you a Shayla, and you say, well, the Mishnah says this, so therefore that must be the Halacha. But you don't really delve into the deeper understanding of what the Halacha is. You are called Mevalei HaOlam. You are a confounder of the world. You are a world confuser. Okay? This Rashi is actually quite fascinating. It's an important discussion to have about like what is Gemara really supposed to be. I just want to encourage, for those of you who, I saw there was an email that went out. Were you in the email? That Rabbi Ben Zev is giving a shiur on learning Gemara and understanding Gemara. And if you can, it was an incredibly good idea, an incredibly important idea. Because all these shiurim are very nice, but that shiur is designed specifically to give its attenders skills. And the skill of learning Gemara, the skill of pulling apart a Gemara, now hopefully not just reading, but also trying to understand the underlying logic, is really the goal of learning Gemara. And if you've ever done it, like a lot of people in yeshiva, when they go to school, they hate Gemara. And for good reason, it's hard. It's really, really hard. And it's not really for everyone. Sometimes it's much more meaningful when you learn it later on in life. You're able to really attack it and do it in a serious way. So if that's for you, then you should do that. And I'll encourage you based on this Rashi, that Gemara isn't just reading of the material, knowing what the dayot are and knowing what the positions are, but trying to understand in a more meaningful way. Okay, based on this, I was sharing with you, I thought this was a great opportunity. Turn to page 43 and 44, 43. Great opportunity to share with you a fascinating discussion, a fascinating halachic debate that really spans generations. And the reason I think I said this last week, the reason I'm aware of this piece is because my boss, Harab Professor Neriah Gutel, wrote an article about the Maharal on something or other, and he just kind of threw this in, like on by the wayside. He was writing about Maharal's views of education. And he threw in this debate, and I read it a while ago, but I remembered it. This is a very fascinating debate about the nature of psak. And the question is like this. Is it better to paskin from a book of rules, or is it better to paskin based on your own understanding from a broader, if you have from your own understanding of a broader nature of shas?
Biasing the question.
Why?
You're leading me.
No, I'm really not. No, I'm really not. I'm really not. Because let's say, is it better to have a codified list of rules, or is it better not to codify? You know, obviously, by the way, it's hard for us to say because everybody here, like codification just totally overtook the halachic process. It absolutely overtook it. There is no new work that's not codified, that isn't based on codification. You know, Shulchan Aruch was a codification, the Rambam was a codification, but up to a certain period of time, right, the idea was a Rav's psak wasn't just simply based on, it was based on an intuition. I know the sources, and using the sources, I'm going to make that intuition. If you look at, all shutim, like I think we're like in the post-shut age. You know what a shut is? I'll just say, a shut is Rashi Tevot for She'elot U'tshuvot. She'elot, questions and answers. If you start reading shutim, right, the real big Rabbanim, they'll use the Gemara, but sometimes they'll use it in ways that you really never thought. Because they're using their intuition, they're using their understanding in order to push it away where they think the Gemara will take you. You know, what's the problem with codification? Code A, rule B, right? So what's the problem with codification? There's always a problem with codification, which is, right, you can't cover everything.
But that's okay.
Why?
Because if you have someone who
opinion, what?
Fill in the blanks.
How is he supposed to fill in the blanks? It's not a rule.
Okay. Without codification.
What's that?
Without codification.
There's a reason it's codified.
With logic, with understanding.
Understanding of what? Of the code?
Of shas.
Ah. Okay. Then you'd have to go back to A. Then what are you using the code for in the first place?
They don't negate each other. They can work together in a certain sense. Assuming the world isn't gray.
The world is very gray.
Okay. So obviously there's areas where it's not...
The problem is like this. Most codes... So if you look at the Rambam, the code of the Rambam is Lishitato. But from then on, after, meaning the Rambam had a worldview of the Gemara, you follow me? Like the Rambam wrote the 14 books, right? He had a Shita. He wrote his code based on his understanding of the Gemara. After that, pretty much every code is a compendium of, and kind of a listing of different opinions, weighing the different opinions, and making a decision based upon majority sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, we use it in the Gemara class a lot. Where they'll come to, you'll have a discussion. You have opinion A, which really understood it in one way. You have opinion B, which really understood the issue in another way. And the final halacha is some conglomeration of both based upon weighing the relative weights of the great poskim deciding in each position. You understand? Mm-hmm. Meaning the final position is not the shitat anyone. It's the shitat everyone. Right?
2 day Rosh Hashanah.
What's that?
2 day Rosh Hashanah.
You see it all the time. You see it over and over and over again. You'll say, well, for the example that we were learning recently was Rabbeinu Tam had a position on Kisoy Hadam, on Yontif. And he was very, very lenient. He had a very lenient position. Nobody else agreed with the Gemara the way he read it. But every posek afterwards said, well, if you have mitigating circumstances, you can always hold like Rabbeinu Tam. But you don't agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Right, but Rabbeinu Tam said what he said. So who are we to disagree with Rabbeinu Tam? You understand the problem of codification is it takes all the whole...
It's not just that. We have a system where we endeavor not to contradict those who came before us.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And therefore, the further you go away from it, the less power you have to create a chidushim and change what was already being set down.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying I don't disagree with you, and anyway, last week you said it's better not to codify and to learn it yourself, so that's kind of where the shit will go. But
I'm not going to take a position, and maybe if you think I'm going to take a position, I'm really not.
No, but
it's a debate between great scholars.
We understand this, we know this.
I think there's an ideal world.
It was supposed to be written down.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point.
But it's not the world we live in.
Well, so codification is a...
We lived in hundreds and hundreds of years ago where they had to start writing it down. So we have to deal with the reality we have. So is it better that only one or two or three or four, we've got, you know, a few Gedolim in the world, and they all know, and they know how to extrapolate, and they know the, you know...
Listen, some things are easy. I think we're talking about two different things. One, like, you know, is this relatively straightforward. Like most halachot, most she'ilot, the question is, I don't know the answer. I'm looking for someone who knows, who has studied and knows the answer. That's a certain kind of question. Then there's a different kind of question where...
This has never happened before.
Right, this is a unique situation, or it's a combination of situations that I'm struggling with, I need someone to make a decision. You can't decide based on codification. Or if you decided based on codification, you're just shooting in the dark. You know,
astronaut flying around the stars never came up before. Now we got
right.
Shafri Mincha, Mari, Shafri Mincha, Mari.
Exactly. Let's look at the Rimigash. Rimigash.
I think I said last week, but it's that Yaakov Kamenetsky never wrote down his psak.
He never wrote down his psak.
He never clarified any of his.
Right, Rav Soloveitchik didn't either. And if he had known that they were going to write down a book of Rav Soloveitchik's Minhagim, it would not have been happy. Not been happy. Okay, shoot a Rimigash. Rimigash, somebody Wikipedia for me, so they'll know. So we'll know when he lived. He lived in Gash, I think. But I'm not sure when and where. I should probably know that. Okay? He was a Rishon. Rishon means he lived up before the 1500s for sure. I think well before that as well. Okay? So we see how far back this went. And he was asked this question. Shoot. Shalat Utshuva. Ma yomar Adonenu bi'ish. Well, so somebody asked him, tell us, Rabbi, what would you say about a person? Shalom karam me'olam halacha im rab. He never studied under anyone. Eni odea derech halacha velo pirusha. He doesn't really understand the way of halacha, nor does he understand its meaning. Velo kriata. Okay? And he can't really read it really well either. El shehu ra'ah harbe mitshuvo taga'onim v'sifrei hadinim. So he never really learned halachic literature. But he likes reading Shutim, he likes reading Shalot to Tshuva, and he likes reading Halacha books. V'lo ne'alam adonenu sh'tshuvot inam omdom amatzav echad b'frat ha'yishanot mehem. And we all, and you know that like Tshuvot, these Tshuvot don't always describe the specific situation, especially the old ones. Sh'nichu behem ha'hefzei mitzad ha'atikim, And also, like, they're not really copied properly, those ones. Also, like, sometimes a Gaon will answer one thing for one guy and another thing for another guy. And either he changed his mind or the situation changed. Or some people criticize the Acharon for what he wrote. You know, very often that happened. Now we're in post-shoot age. But if, you know, if you wrote something, if you publicized a Psach Halacha, people came out against you if they thought you were wrong. Okay? So this guy, he knows the truth, but he doesn't really understand, like, their underlying logic or why they're correct. Okay, can he paskin from this issue that he read? Maybe if he gives issues to psak, right, the person who issued the psak changed his mind. If a person doesn't understand the underlying din and where it came from the Gemara, can I rely on this guy or not? Can he teach? Can he issue psak? Bifrat imhu built in this explicit thing. Right? Bifrat imhu built aresha mayim. Okay. Moreover, this person is not a God-fearing person. Ve'edu alav b'rishayot rabot, and there's talking about him a little bit. Okay. Ve'od eliu alav shehu nitla hayom inyan din echad b'sheila achat umyaches otal legaon echad. Okay, he says one law is based on one Gaon. The next day he says, oh yeah, I think I saw that in, you know, in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch somewhere. So he says, I like your psak. There's a guy here in our town who is issuing halachic psak. He never really learned Gemara. He's read a few shutim. And he reads the halacha books, you know. He read the Shemir Shabbos Kehil Chasara, right? And people are saying not so good things about his Rumkai. And he doesn't really understand the underlying logic of the Gemara. Is it okay for this guy to issue psak or not? Your answer?
Think on your
own. What?
Think on your own. You wouldn't have to turn to a rabbi to ask a question like that. It's fairly obvious what's going on.
Your answer?
No.
No. Everyone, do you want to say no? What do you think? Yeah, I mean, go to Rav Hadaya, say, Rav Hadaya, there's a gentleman I know in the community who's giving people halachic advice. He never really learned in yeshiva, but he only goes on the internet and checks out halacha.
Why are these people going to him?
They don't have anybody to go to.
Maybe exactly.
No, there are, honestly, what do you mean? It could very well be. They were in a situation in the community where there was no Rav, there was no nothing. What?
It doesn't bother me that he's not learning.
Oh, sure. Meaning you go to the most convenient thing that's available to you. So I go to you and I say, Daniel, you have the halacha. You're the only one with the book. So you say, well, I'm not really a rabbi, but I'll look it up for you.
That's not what he's saying.
The rabbi is
why was wrong there.
The rabbi used to say, you know, Allah teach Allah.
What do you mean, what's wrong with that? There's something terrible about it. I'll tell you what's wrong with it.
No, the issue.
You have a question for me. Can I use my spoon? You know what the most important thing I have to do now is I have to know enough to ask the right questions to be able to offer a proper answer.
No, I'm making an assumption that the person who's giving is getting a shela,
mm-hmm.
And my assumption is he understands the situation. He knows where to apply that situation in the halakha
book. Why are you assuming that?
According,
how would a person know that if he never had an experience in learning?
Two things.
How would he know?
I mean, it depends on the situation, doesn't it?
Can you imagine your wife is a tax, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to her and ask her a question. Somebody comes to me and asks me a tax question, and I am armed only with the tax code.
Sure, a lot of people do that.
Yes. And?
Sometimes I make mistakes.
Yeah. Why?
Because
the tax code is impossible.
Yeah, sometimes you get it right.
It's true. It's impossible.
Two things.
You have to have an understanding. You know, I looked at the code. It didn't make any sense to me. You have to have an understanding of how the system works. Because she knows all the dinim and she knows dinim.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, like, sometimes, like, if I need to look up something like in the Yalkut Lot Yosef about a certain, like, minhag or how we do it, I can look up the halacha.
Yes, you can.
So therefore, for that kind of case, it's okay. But it could be that you're talking about other more involved cases where it's not a black and white comparison of scenarios. That I think the answer could be right depending on the situation. It depends on how it's...
It could be, but would you be comfortable saying to that person, go ahead and issue rulings.
Yeah. For the whole town and for everything.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he was issuing and somebody wanted to stop him.
Two things jump out at me.
Yeah?
The first is the way the question is asked.
It does sound fishy, doesn't it?
He's trying to bring
a guy down. If he just said, somebody doesn't know halakha, but he's read a few books, is that okay? But then he starts adding on top. He's got Yirat Shemayim, and he's this, and he's that, and he's that. Mm-hmm. And he goes all the way. Ki'ilu, if he was Yirat Shemayim, but still didn't know the things, he'd be fine. Yeah, that's how we normally ask the questions. You stop at the point where everything before is okay.
Why are you bringing in this personal information?
Agenda. He's got an agenda.
Yeah, exactly. It does seem clear. Okay, look what the Rebbe guy said.
And the second thing is, according to you, according to the story you're telling,
I'm reading.
There's nothing better.
It might
not be ideal.
That's not true. That's not really not true. There's always an alternative.
If you have a question to a person, it
might have his situation.
Hold on, is there somebody else better? Why wouldn't you go to someone else?
Because it's harder. You have to send a letter. You have to wait for an answer.
Send a letter. Wait for an answer.
Let's say the Reform Rabbi has more school than the Orthodox Rabbi. He doesn't fear God. And that's huge. You might know more about the literature, but the Orthodox Rabbi at least is going to tell you a God-fearing opinion.
Right.
You're saying you're the smartest guy. The Reform guy might be smart, but doesn't fear God. He doesn't have your Yerusha mind. You're still going to go to him? He knows a lot.
No.
Try to get the best answer.
If there's someone better, you go to someone better.
Better means no knowledge. So Reform Rabbi studied it many years. He's brilliant and Reform Rabbi.
Right.
He doesn't fear God.
I didn't say better was more knowledge.
Well, I didn't get the impression
more
that this guy.
To Paschal
Halakha. It's impossible to know what that means. They testified to him that he did terrible things. That sounds to me like a hatchet job, doesn't it? They want to bring the guy down. Yeah. Anyway, Tshuva. Look at his answer. So the Rebbe Gash. Da. No. Sha'ish hazeh ra'ui yoter lahatir lo lahorot. It's better. It's easier. I'm happier letting him give an answer. Me anashim rabim kavu atzmam lahora'a bizmaneinu zeh. Then a lot of people who call themselves rabbis and think that they do know the answers. V'rubam ein b'hem afilu echad mishnei dvarim elu. They don't have either one of two things, i.e. Ritzoni lomar, havanat halacha, v'hemidah odat gaonim. Right, they don't understand the halacha and they don't understand the da'at of the gaonim. V'otam shem midamim leharot mi'iyun halacha. So people will say, I learned all of Shas and I know what the halacha is supposed to be. U'mechozek iyunam b'talmud. And from the strength of their immersion in the Talmud, hem shirai lemanam mizeh. They're the ones that have to stop issuing psak. Why? She'ein bizmanenu zeh mi shiyeh ra'ui lekach. I don't know anybody big enough or good enough to do that. V'lo mi shihigia b'chachmat ha-talmud l'klal shiyoreh mi'iyunei mivalei shiyamod al da'at ha-gaonim. He says, I don't know anybody who knows Shas well enough, they're such a big gaon, that they can, without the help of the codifications, that they're able to issue psakim. You know, they don't need a Rambam, they don't need anybody. No, I don't know the Shas, I know where Shas is going to go. You know what I'm saying? He says, I don't know anybody like that. Ava mishra mareh mitshuvat ha-gaonim. But somebody who teaches from the Tshuva of the Gaonim, v'somech aleihem, and relies on them, v'af ha'pi she'eno yachol lahavin v'tamud, can't read a Gemara, but he can read a Tshuva. Hu yoter hagun u'meshubach, he is more worthy, more praiseworthy, more appropriate, mi'oto she'choshev shehu yodeh b'tamud, v'somech aleatzmo. More than the guy who thinks he knows how to learn Gemara, and relies on himself. Says, you know, that guy, so the guy doesn't know anything, you know what at least he admits? He admits he doesn't know anything. So he says, don't ask me, we're going to ask, you know, the tshuva, this is the tshuva. We'll read the tshuva, that's what the Rav said, that's what we'll do. As opposed to the guy who thinks he's such a big hotshot, he doesn't care what the tshuva would say, I got to learn another Gemara, I got to be a big Talmud Chacham. So the Rebbe goes, those guys are worse. And I take B over A any day. Okay? Shehu, afa pi shehu mora misvara bilti amitot mirayot geonim. Right? This is what he said, Shapki. Even though He is issuing psak from untrue svara from the Gaonim. Mikomakom eno to ebaze. That's not a mistake. Why? Let's say a Rav issues a psak. Rav, you know, Rav X issues a psak on an issue. It could be that everyone disagrees with him. It could be that Rav X was wrong. But that's his koach beitin. So even though the whole world disagrees with him, this person reading his tshuva, he reads the tshuva, he's okay. Umi shiroem shemorem mi'iyuno b'halacha. But somebody who teaches from his own understanding, it's good. Could be he thinks that the halacha, that his understanding is mechayev, is obligates. But he's wrong. He misread it. He misunderstood it. It's very, very controversial in his time. I mean, he says, I don't know anybody in this generation that's at that level, that he knows enough that he can issue psak only from the Gemara.
He's a Rishon?
Yeah, you may have his Rishon. V'hem chashvim shehoru kedin, v'hu baruch ha-shemesh, v'hem ta'u behoru ha-atam, v'talu ha-dabaru al-makom bilti mekomo. So, like, and I'm telling you, I've seen a ton of times people issuing crazy psakim, and they place it on some Gemara somewhere, and they totally misunderstood it, they totally misunderstood the Gemara. They learned the halacha and said, the Gemara in Zvachim says blah blah blah. Hello, that Gemara in Zvachim was a side Gemara that wasn't relating to your issue at all. And now all of a sudden you're issuing a psak? He says, between the real halacha and the Gemara they were talking about, it was just a small, minor difference. Of course, they didn't know it. They didn't realize that. And they just took it in a simple way. They weren't sensitive to this small distinction. And they think that their case is the same as the Gemara's case. It's so bad that I'm telling you, someone who is not relying on himself. He's looking at halacha as the way it's described in a gaon, in a tshuva of the gaonim. Who yoter mishubach miotam hamidamim laharot min hatamud. It's more praiseworthy than those are midamim. That's a very, how do you translate that? They imagine themselves giving psak from the Gemara. Okay, if he's not really Yerei Shamayim, alright, if he's a real Dayan, you should look into it. If he's a real Dayan, she'eino hagun. If he should konote Asherah b'Yisrael. It's bad, it's like planting an Asherah tree. Asherah is an idolatry tree. V'im eino Dayan kavua, ala she'ein dan lefanav, ala misha kibel ota adera chabreira, ein lan lelake b'zeh. Says, people ask him Shilas. Is that a big tzaddik? Okay. No big deal. Almost shocking. Says the Rebbe Gash, I don't want people thinking anymore. When people think, bad things happen. Because they think they know the answer, and they didn't understand. And it's much better to have people look up the halacha, do your best, follow whatever the Gaon says, and if that Gaon was wrong, that's not your problem. Pretty surprising, huh? We're all speechless. And we'll move on.
Sounds like some political undertones.
I've heard what? If you have a Gemara that says Friday's color is green, you have a 19th century scholar, let's say Moshe Feinstein, who made that up, Friday's color is blue. Even though we take the more recent real ruling, he interprets in today's thing. Nothing to do with anything, all right?
Yeah.
That's just, you know, whatever. We think we see that clearly said in the Mishnah. You say we don't punch him for the Mishnah. And yet this greater rabbi who lived in this last century interprets whatever it says, and he brings it, we're supposed to use the more recent people.
That's the thing is, right. After the Rebbe Gash wrote this, rabbis did it all the time.
Maybe.
Of course they did it all the time, especially after him, because I'm sure in his time, he was before most of the major codifications. He's talking about reading Tshuvot HaGaonim and passing out of the Tshuvos. Yeah, I'd rather have that. That's better than these fly-by-night rabbis who say they know stuff, and, you know, you can't believe the mistakes I hear about. And he probably, you know, probably was correct. It would be interesting to note historically what his historical period was and what he had to deal with and why he was saying this. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a smartphone to look up when Rebbe Gash lived. Where?
Does this mean I can ask accounting questions?
You could ask.
You ask my wife.
No, I don't want to ask your wife. I want to ask you.
You could ask. If guy's willing to answer you. Right? He'll give a standard standard disclaimer. Right?
Well, him is if my wife's fine, don't talk to me.
You're
going to
ask me
Now we turn to the Maharal, who's going to offer a very, very, very different perspective.
In Gemara,
yeah,
we hold that somebody's experience, somebody says, this is what we did in my father's house, mm-hmm. is even stronger than what, often even a brighter.
Right.
That's the real, the tachlis is the action. It's not
personal experience, correct.
What somebody said, it might be he heard or he's thought he remembered. Or,
right. Right, but here it's—I mean,
but this is but
this is not that. This is asking. This is asking a question.
It's going back to the Gaonim. It's going back to you know practical experience from your father's father's father, whatever. That's what.
What's interesting is so. But Rashi's comment, Hamurim Hara, I mean Hamishnah Nikrim Vavalei Olam. Right. By the time of the Rimagash, he was aware of what Rashi wrote. By the time of the Rimagash, he was afraid that those people. Like if you follow that to some degree, you know the way we described it. A little knowledge is a very dangerous thing. You rather mention the Reform Rabbi. Right. It's. I have former friends, wonderful people, but a little knowledge is really, really dangerous. It's really true. You can if you want to, if you have a certain goal, you can paint the bullseye, shoot the arrow, and then paint circles around it. You know, and the Gemara actually says this. You can prove anything. In the Gemara like that, it says he was Matame Tahori, Matar, Matar, Tameim. The Gemara says that. You can do that if you want. You can, you know, you can make up a Gemara and you can say, well, the Gemara, the Halacha really cares about Kabod HaBriot, and people are embarrassed today if you don't allow them to marry homosexually, so we'll create some kind of, and I'm quoting from an actual Tshuva, I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. So Kabod HaBriot trumps, you know, I don't know, 2,000 years of Halacha. And you know, it's a very dangerous thing. It's a very, very dangerous thing. We're not talking about people who are intentionally, that's only if you're intentionally making a mistake. You can imagine if you have a little bit of knowledge and you're, you know. Yeah, you don't know what you're doing. You know, would you go to a doctor who's like, well, I could do the operation, but give me a second. Yeah, okay, let's go. You know what I mean? On the other hand, maybe you'd rather that doctor as opposed to the other doctor. That says, yeah, that is everything. Yeah. Okay. But you understand, this is not just a rabbinic issue. It's a broader life issue. Derech HaChaim. Says the Maharal. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Achashi Kvaru Lecha Kol Elu Memchet Dvarim Shetar Nikne Ben. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot lists 48 categories. Did you find it?
No.
Okay.
I only write in Hebrew, in English.
Did it appear, Rimagash?
I just spell Rimagash.
Try R-I, Migash, M-I-G-A-C-H. Try that. Or you can try it on mine if you feel like it. Okay. Achashi Bar Kolei Memchad Zvarim Nikim Hazor, Yesh In Li La'ayen B'inyan Limud Hador Hazeh. He said, we have to look at the way that they learn Torah in this generation. Im Eilu Memchad Zvarim Sha'al Yadam Kinyan HaTorah Hem Svichim L'Torat Hador Hazeh. Like, what about, is learning in this generation comparable to the way they learned then? Vinitchadesh od derech tzarad shenimsa shulchan arach lifnei adam. Okay? And it was, a new thing was created until a shulchan, there was a set table before it per people. Obviously this is referring to, what's the set table, of course? The shulchan arach. Yomru zeh ha-shulchan shelifnei Hashem begadol vekaton kruim umezumanim el ha-shulchan. Everyone's invited to eat at this table. Lo nika shab lifnei dal. Right, the weak, the capable, everyone is invited to sit at this table. Lo yadatam, velo svara. You don't know the reason. You don't know the understanding. Morim halacha mitocha mishnah harishona. See that phrase? Morim halacha mitocha mishnah. Find it. No, Rimagash. Not rim. Re. Okay. You can't get the stupid thing. Let's look for there. Okay, they look. They search for halacha from svara, and it's very interesting. If you compare it, morim hara'a min hamishnah, morim halacha mitocha mishnah. He's copying the words. Why? Because he's channeling Rashi. He's just simply channeling. You know, these people who amora halacha. You know, that's crazy. התנים והאמרים והגאונים וכל האחרונים התחילו בסדר המסודר. Everybody until now learned in a certain order. ללמוד תחילה מקרא, first they learned the פסוקים, ואחר כך משנה, let it go, forget it, we'll figure it out later. אחר כך משנה, ואחר כך תלמוד, then the משנה, then the תלמוד, ובדור הזה, but in our generation, what do they do first? מתחילים בתלמוד, שמחנכים הנער בין שישה ושבעה בתלמוד, the kid learns at 6 or 7 years old, they start learning Gemara, ולבסוף יעלה על המשנה, and then he learns על המשנה, ולא ללמוד רק שמחפשים הלכות פסוקות, כמו שאמר, and then they look for the halacha, like we said. עכשיו לא נשאר לא תלמוד, ולא שום דין, ולא שום הוראה על ידי חיפוש. The kids don't know anything. They don't know the Gemara, they don't know the halacha, they don't know anything. כי שפתי אמת תיקון לעד ולנצח, וייסור מעלינו ההופכים ללענה משפט ועמים למר מתוק אמן. These people are saying that injustice, disjustice is justice, that which is sweet is bitter, etc. It's terrible. What should we be doing? What should kids learn first? Leave it on. What should kids learn first? First kid should learn? What do you think? Chumash. Tanakh. And then they should learn? Mishnah. Then they should teach them Gemara. And if they go in order, have a good basis and a good understanding. Probably Gemara Rashi. And when you're done with that, then you go back and do the Tosam. I'm sure that's what he'd say. Tiba Dulam, same idea, but in much broader, in much more expanded fashion. Perchelik Amar Belezer, Adam la'amal nivra. Okay, a person was, the Gemara says there, a person was created for amel, for toil. Any yodim la'amel torah, la'amel sicha. Sha'amar, I don't know, is this to like, blah, 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 or to toil in Torah? Is it the toil of stam speech, or the toil of Torah? Sha'amar, lo yamush sefer ha'torah mipicha. So the Torah says, the words of this book should not deviate, should not be separated from your mouth. Haviyomer la'amal Torah. So you have to be toiling in Torah. Perish zek. Ki yefshah shi'anivra adam b'lo amal. It's impossible for a person to be born that he should not toil. So he should toil in Torah. Now comes the Maharal. See where I am? Second paragraph, page 44. Ki ka'asher shana mishnah. If a person learned mishnah. V'lo shimesh tamid chacham levarei ta'amei ha-mishnah. So he studied Mishnah, meaning he studied, halacha, but then he never delved deeper to try to understand the reasons behind them. Shehu seichel barur kasher amar al ta'amei ha-mishnah. You need the clear seichel to understand the reasons. Nikra ze am ha'aretz, kasher los kana seichel. This person never inherited seichel. He's called an am ha'aretz. Mishe shana ha-mishnah, v'lo shimesh tamid chacham debarer lo ha-mishnah. Lo yata lapo al ha-shlemut diyot chacham befo'al. You're not a wise person if you just read the book, and you never had the, it's interesting, I use the Shimush Tamil Chacham. You don't have a Rebbe. You have to have a Rebbe. He'll explain to you the reason for it. Mishalamara Mishnah Bali Birur Tam HaMishnah Chaser Limud HaTorah. If you just learn the Mishnah, not the reason for it, you're missing the reason. Why? Ki HaTorah HaSichlit Ra'ui Lahem Bifrat. This is a very important point. He says the Torah is not a book of rules. The Torah is a system, a logical system. And if all you know is a book of rules and you're not aware of the logical system behind it, that's learning rules. That's not an understanding of the Torah. Kim yuchadim Yisrael lekabel haseichel min Hashem yitbarach. For a lot of people, like they're missing this point. It's a very important point to understand that Torah learning must be an intellectual exercise where you're trying to come to a deeper understanding of what it is you're discussing, and not just okay, I got it. It's covering material. You're not cramming for a test. You're dealing with a deeper level of understanding and discussion. You know, cramming for a test is fine and good and has its place. But it's not in the place of the...
Do you have to know how to build a car to drive a car?
No. Right? Do you have to know how to build a car to drive a car?
You can start observant and not know the deep.
He didn't say Torah observant, he said study Torah.
Okay.
You don't have to know how to build it to drive it. We're not about driving it. We're talking about, do you have to know how to build a car to teach somebody else how to fix it? You don't think so? You think you can fix a car out of a manual?
Guaranteed.
People can
fix a car, they can't build it.
But he said something different. He said something else over here.
What?
Ain't a siyata mitzvah,
One second. I don't think you can teach it. No way. Are you kidding?
Totally different stuff.
What?
To build a car is different than...
I didn't say that. I said, can you fix a car from a manual? If you just had a book.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
No way.
Well,
no,
yeah.
Everyone does.
Sure.
What?
That's a good question.
Okay. I've written manuals to fix things.
And?
You can't build a car.
No, there's like...
The models and...
There's a... It's like, there's... we'll get to my raw. We're having an important car discussion. There's
a car discussion is completely irrelevant in relation to what...
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so specific. It's so honed down. It's not talking about a whole schooling, a whole...
He's, but he's also talking about in the Masorah passed down through a teacher. There's nothing that can come in place of human communication, of watching and learning from by example.
Of course, but a car
there's
is too specific.
Understanding.
It's not
fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It's
what?
It's like cars are designed to be... It's called the design of the car, is the manual. And
terrific. Let's go back for a second. Let's look at this meta-discussion. This meta-discussion is the study of Torah. Because we're trying to understand what Torah is. Right? Is it like the car? Is it not like the car? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? That's a discussion of Torah. Okay, good. I'm accepting your point. I'm accepting your point. But your point, making that point, you're asking yourself, well, is learning Torah a broader thing or a more specific thing? You understand what I'm saying? This is the Maharal I was talking about. This is exactly what the Maharal is talking about. This intellectual discussion is trying to understand what is Torah, what is not Torah, is Torah. Have I lost you? What?
Totally, sorry.
Really? Oh, you understand what I'm trying to say or not at all?
Keep going, not forget.
No, okay, forget it. Those of you listening at home.
They say Torah is infinite.
What?
You want to say Torah is infinite.
It is infinite.
How can you ever get to Psach? Like,
Maharal is saying that the grappling with and trying to understand using your seichel, using your intellect, that is the essence of what Talmud is about, of Gemara is about. And it's not simply of trying to accumulate facts and understanding knowledge.
But it's very different.
Someone who only studied Mishnah, he's a kuti. There's no term. He just does what he's told. That's what you meant? Performance of mitzvot should come from an understanding. So I guess you have to... The car thing, it's not a good example.
No.
Why? Because the performance of the mitzvah is in and of itself an act of faith. Your driving is not an act of faith.
Two more lines.
It's just a rule. Oh, why don't we say lulav?
I think the Rim Gdim.
The Rim Gash?
Yeah, Rim Gash is saying something completely different.
Well, let's go on. You'll see in a second.
It's a Rim Gash.
It's terrible. A person should perform mitzvot with seichel. That's an inappropriate thing. This is where he's getting to the Mimikash. Shemorim av she'eno yodea ikar tam ha-mishnah. U'bezeh malbin ha-olam. Ki olam omed al taref. Okay, if you teach without knowing the reason for the Mishnah, you're malbin, you're defacing the world. Because the world is dependent upon Torah. It's not just teaching the what to do, but it's teaching why.
But then the Rimadash is doing something completely different to what he's talking about, something completely different to the Maharal. The Maharal is talking about the essence and the understanding and the spiritual aspect behind
what you're doing.
He's not talking about what you have to do.
He's talking about a person should not only know what they have to do, they should know why they have to do it.
Yeah, but
not Tamei HaMitzvot, not Kedusha, not to connect to God, not in that way.
But the reason for the law.
Yeah,
but the reason is actually saying that if somebody knows how to do, give a psak based on whatever they do on him, it's better than someone who thinks he understands all the Tamei of the mitzvah. So it's a different.
I don't agree with your distinction. I think he's saying this. But lakach, this is. I just want to point. He's quoting Rashi. Kasher morim halacha mitocha mishnah, lo mitzad haseichel. If you just teach from the Mishnah and not from seichel, hey mivalei olam sheomed al Torah. They are mivalei olam. This is exactly the quote that Rashi quoted. Okay, these are the mivalei olam, the confusers of the world, the confounders of the world. The world is standing on the Torah of seichel, top to the top. Abedor hazeh, skipping a watch. In this generation, im hayu poskim halacha mitocha mishnah, haya zedai. Ki ha mishnah hi ra'ayot le Talmud v'atchala elav. אבל אין פוסקים הלכה מתוך המשנה שיעשו את התלמוד, כי התלמוד הוא פירוש המשנה. They don't pass it out from the Mishnah, rather. רק שהם פוסקים הלכה מתוך הפסקים אשר נתחברו להורות הלכה למעשה. He's saying, "Halavai, at least if they were connected to some real source, that'd be one thing." But they don't do that. They go to the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchasa. They go to some, like, some work some guy wrote. Okay? Wait a second. That were written just for a Pesach. V'lo nasu lelamed otam. Rak v'tzok v'yam. They were never taught to be taught from. Just for Pesach. Davar zeh yoter rachok min hadat. That's a terrible thing that the people are doing this. I mean, it's pretty kitzoni, you know, especially since we know who does this today. Everybody does it today. And like, there is no Rav that doesn't paskin from the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, well, what do you do about the fact that, you know, great rabbis wrote codifications? Like, what would the Maharal say? It's a pretty big problem. You're like basically against every codification in Jewish history. Right? So he says the following. First of which, I heard who wrote the first one?
Rambam.
Harishonik Maharambam Zichronam Libracha. Vehatur Zichronam Libracha. The Rambam and the Tur who wrote their codifications. Av al gab shehem gam chibru hapsakim below birur. They also wrote psakim without birur. Lo hayta da'atam rak lehorot sof halacha. They didn't just want you to teach to know the end halacha. Vashehu olu mitocha talmud. Okay. Aval lifsoka adam mitocha belisha diyada me'eze makom yatsa hadin. Vakir chazada below ta'ama. Lo al da'atam v'al mashavotam. They never thought a person would pass them from their book. Fine, they were giving you a codification, but they wanted you to learn the whole thing with it. Agreed? Really?
I'm not so sure.
What?
I wasn't sure about that.
No way! What do you mean not so sure? Absolutely not! How do I know it's not true? When the Rambam wrote his book, what did he say?
He said that people can...
Oh, leave the Gemara on the side. What did he call Rambam? What did he call his book? Mishnah Torah. Why? Because you need a Chumash, and you need my book. And that's why all the Chacham were so angry at him. You know what I'm saying? If his book was just another commentary, that'd be one thing. He said, you know, it's so hard, the Gemara. It's like all over the place. Have you ever noticed that? Talmud is like all over the place. You have to know all of it. It's impossible. How's a person supposed to know what to do?
That's why he did it.
That's exactly why he did it. But Maharal is coming on and saying, you're misunderstanding. He never intended somebody to paskin from the book. No, really? I mean, he kind of said he did. I mean, okay. Kevin, you want to defend your Maharal?
I'll get back to you.
Okay. V'ilu yadu ha-mechabrim. If these authors knew, ki ha-chiburim hem yugormim shi ozvim et ha-talmud legamre. If they knew that their people, it would cause people to abandon the Talmud completely, v'yu poskim bitoch ha-chiburim, and that they would paskin from them and not from the Gemara, lo hayu mechabrim otam. They never would have written them. Think that's true? Think the Shulchan Aruch. If he thought that people were passing from the Shulchan Aruch and not from the Gemara, he wouldn't have written the Shulchan Aruch.
I think it depends.
The Kitzer, Dini Halacha, Shmir Shabbat Kilchata.
You can say that the Shulchan Aruch.
Ihalacha.com.
You can say he writes it for the layman to be able to understand Halacha, but the expectation was that a person who's going to be a Pesach would learn what he needs to learn. And it wouldn't just be a simple, like, okay, I'll take it out of the Shulchan Aruch.
The Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam
did. Rambam did that. Yeah,
but they don't cover the vast. They don't cover, like, most of the questions that you see there being asked today are not questions that you can answer out of the Shulchan Aruch or the Rambam directly. Most of the shoot that people ask, right?
Yeah.
Are questions that are much more personal questions.
That's absolutely not true. The classic question. I used my milk spoon in my fleshy pot. I cooked soup in it through, you know, 7 days ago, and you know, I used.
Yeah, but how much dispute is there amongst that as far as whether the Das Torah, as far as the major things that you should be thinking about?
What do you mean about the spoon?
Yeah, it's not gonna.
Because you
have to develop the
fact. Right, you Ashkenaz, are you Sfarad? You know what I'm saying? Do you want to be Machmir? Do you not want to be Machmir? How important do you? You know, what was the food that you were cooking? Can you throw it away? You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of questions. So, but you pass in mostly from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch does talk about it. The Shulchan Aruch talks about most questions people have. The vast majority. Maybe not in the language you'd expect.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there isn't a dispute. A major... Well, I don't know. I have to think about it.
Okay. I'm saying, Maharal came out. Maharal was...
Focus. I think this is a different focus that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, they wrote those books for the layman, not for the Posek Hador.
You think the Shulchan Aruch wrote the book for the layman?
I think so, yeah. I think even more.
Is that good? And we want the layman making his own decisions?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Rambam clearly had a good idea because
he said no. He's saying exactly not that. He's saying the opposite.
Yeah, he's saying what happened.
He's saying the Rambam. No, he's saying the Rambam wrote his book for the scholar to assist him in coming to a decision. But that's after the scholar had already read the subject. Now you could say, by the way, Rabbanim don't pass it only for the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, they learn most times. We hope. But let me put it this way: the major stuff you learn, and the rest of it you kind of have to like.
Really?
Yeah, but what, you think I learned all the Shas?
No, you learn to get smicha to be a communal rav.
Right.
Baskin, you learn Shulchan Aruch.
But why?
You learn Gemara.
No.
But really, that's not what you're doing.
You learn Shulchan Aruch,
and any time you ask a question, he goes to Mishnah Berurah. If it's not the Mishnah Berurah, he goes back to Shulchan Aruch, and then maybe he thinks about the Gemara. Never really gets to the Gemara. Unless he learned it before and he remembers it, he knows which page it was, he goes back to it.
I wouldn't know, you don't
most,
go...
Most people pass on halacha these days with the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah.
Correct, absolutely. But you think they never learned? You think they never learned the Gemara before?
But they don't.
Never seen it?
They,
I don't think you're right. I don't think the Gemara
that's
says
not what
that.
He's saying. He's saying, don't even go to a book. Go to the Gemara and try, if you don't remember it, if you don't remember how you worked it out in the Gemara, you've got to work it out again.
Ki yoter ra'ui v'yoter nachon shiye posek mitoch ha-Talmud. So, what about the Rimagash's problem?
Yeah.
The Rimagash said, what if you read it wrong?
That's what the Rambam's saying.
But what if you read it wrong? Listen. V'av ki yesh chush shelo yelech b'derech ha'emet. Yes, there's a chance that somebody will not pass it properly. V'lo yivzok ha'din la'abito. Shiyitiye ha'ra'a lefi ha'emet. Maybe he's going to mess up. Mikol makom ein lachacham rak ma she'asechel shelo noten u'mevin mitoch ha'Talmud. He says, I don't care. I'd rather you paskin from the Gemara, use your seichel, use your intuition, v'kasher tivunato v'chachmato titeoto, im kol zehu ahuv el Hashem, God yitbarach, God loves him anyway. Kasher hu morek kafi mashu mitchayimin seichlo. He is teaching, he is issuing a psak, the way he understands it, v'ein the dayan masherak she'enav ro'ot.
Supply to everybody.
Right? The dayan. Not everybody. No, you can't open a Gemara. Sorry. Who yoter? But you can't open it. That he would say. He would say. Well, first of all, understand. People, nobody did what we do today. Nobody. You kidding? You got a shayla? You have the rab. He's talking about rabbanim. Nobody would open a book and pass it for themselves. Nobody would open a shulchan aruch. Who had a shulchan aruch anyway?
So that it was important.
Who had the shulchan aruch?
Only talking about
learned scholars, rabbis,
rabbanim and the dayanim. And therefore, he's saying, I'd rather
you learn it and try to do it to the best of your ability and knowledge and be wrong than go on what somebody else says and apply it and misapply it and not really know the deeper understanding.
Well, it's the same thing. In the end,
yeah. It's a fascinating discussion. Well, I thought we get through it earlier, but I know it's a fascinating discussion. All this from a single line of Gemara.